Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, text number 49 and 50. Purnamasyam Sinivalyam Dvadasyam Shravanetava Dinakshaye Vyatipati Sankramir Kadine Piva Svavayet Stradadhana Nam. Is that up there? No, okay, we'll just do 49. Purnamasyam Sinivalyam Tvadasyam Shravanetava Dinakshaye Vyatipate Sankramir Kadine Piva Purnamasyam Sinivalyam Dvadasyam Shravanetava Dinakshaye Vyatipate Sankramir Kadine Piva. Purnamasyam. On the full moon. Sinivalyam. On the dark moon. Tvadasyam. On the day after Ekadasi. Shravane. During the Shravana star's appearance. Atava or Dinakshaye at the end of the titi Vyatipate a particular day of the name Sankrame at the end of the month Arkadine on Sunday Api also Va or Sravayet. One should recite. Sradhananam. To a receptive audience. Tirthapada. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pada Asrayaha, taken shelter of the lotus feet. Na Itschan, without desiring remuneration. Tatra, there. Atmana, by the self. Atmanam, the mind. Santushtaha. Pacified, iti, thus, siddhyati, becomes perfect. Persons who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord should recite this narration of Dhruva Maharaj without taking remuneration. Specifically, recitation is recommended on the full moon or dark moon day, on the day after Ekadasi, on the appearance of the Shravana star at the end of a particular titi or the occasion of Vyatipata at the end of the month or on Sunday. Such recitation should of course be performed before a favourable audience. When recitation is performed this way, without professional motive, the reciter and audience become perfect. Purport. Professional reciters may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies. But they cannot make any spiritual improvement or become perfect. It is therefore strictly forbidden to recite Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession to earn a livelihood. Only one who is completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending fully on him for personal maintenance, or even for maintenance of his family, can attain perfection by recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of narrations of the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. The process can be summarized as follows. The audience must be faithfully receptive to the Bhagavat message, and the reciter should completely depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat recitation must not be a business. If done in the right way, not only does the reciter and the audience, does the reciter achieve satisfaction, but the Lord also is very satisfied with the reciter and the audience, and thus both are liberated from the material bondage simply by the process of hearing. Om Mahayana Timirandasya Janjana Shalakaya Chatur Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurude Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Tena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mahiyam Tatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Vangayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarinam. Okay, so here we have the qualifications for the participants in Bhagavat Katha. Bhagavat Katha. Or what have we got here? Doesn't mention it actually. So that the reciter should be speaking also. So, first qualification is the speaker is not materially motivated. That's important. Then the second qualification is the persons who are hearing should be Shraddhadhananam. They should have faith. In other words, their purpose for hearing the Bhagavatam is not material. And so there's various days here that are recommended. The full moon, the dark moon, the Dwadasi, at the end of the month, on a Sunday. So there are a number of occasions wherein it's recommended that one should recite this story of Dhruva Maharaj for spiritual benefit. Of course, any day really is okay. It's still auspicious. But the most important qualification is rather than, because we study the Bhagavatam every day, and in fact, Nitya Seva, Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya is recommended in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that the Bhagavatam be recited every day. Even the Bhagavat Saptaha, the performance or the celebration of reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days is indicative of the fact that 7 days indicates Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all of the days of the week. But that's meant to be repeated. Not just you do it for 7 days and then, oh, fantastic. But rather, the Bhagavatam, that recitation of the Bhagavatam for 7 days means that it should be done every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday. So we recite the Bhagavatam every day of the week. And the Bhagavatam is mentioned in the beginning. This is our very means of conquest. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam Prasangam Mamavirya Sambhido Bhavanti Ritkana Rasayana Kata. The Srimad Bhagavatam has power, Krishna says. And that power is himself. The Bhagavatam regularly recited is purifying. When it's mentioned there are benefits in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, those benefits are purely spiritual, not material. And so it's recommended that one regularly hear the Bhagavatam for progress in spiritual life. Because the hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam removes material desires. What is it? Srimitam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana riyadyantasto hiyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. The recitation of the Bhagavatam is very dear to the sat, or the sadhus, the sakratas, those who are interested in the absolute truth. It is not meant for recitation to make material progress, material advancement. Prabhupada says here, professional reciters may ask money to extinguish the blazing fire within their bellies. Just because they're hungry. Because if you're a good reciter of the Bhagavatam, people will come and listen. And it's the culture in India, you know, that any sadhu is given gifts and lavished praise and fed. But this is the culture. But that's not the purpose for reciting the Bhagavatam. That may be the result, but it's not the maybe one of the results, but it's not the ultimate result. Like the performance of devotional service, we will get material benefits for the performance of our devotional practice. We will. People will give you money. People will glorify you. People will honour and respect the devotee. But we should understand that that's not the purpose of performing devotional service. The purpose for performing devotional service is to satisfy our innate character, our innate purpose and our innate identity is to serve. Right? Service is natural to everyone. And having the right service attitude is the measure of a devotee, the mark or the measure of a devotee. right? The service attitude. That's really what distinguishes a devotee from everybody else. That's why we associate with the devotees. Most people have an impersonal conception of God. Some formless energy that exists everywhere, within everything. Which is true. It's that the Brahman aspect, right? Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sabhyate, the supreme Brahman or the Parabrahman is recognized in three phases. So there's that element of that all pervading energy of God existing within everything as a fact. But you can't render service to something that's everywhere. Or everywhere means nowhere for most people, right? Because the conception of the supreme, absolute, all-pervading, all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing personality of Godhead, hard to conceive of. So Prabhupada mentions the reason why one, in order to make spiritual progress, one needs to associate with persons who understand the personality of Godhead. That's why we need the association of the devotees to understand the different phases of existence in ourselves and also in the manifestation of God. So there's the Brahman feature that's everything, everywhere, which is fair enough. But then there's also the personal manifestation of God within the heart as the Paramatma, as the Super Soul, and then ultimately as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who lives in his own abode in the spiritual sky, you know, far beyond the material realm. And the nature, our nature, is to render service to that person. That we're persons, we're all persons, right? So God must be a person. If we're persons, God must be a person. Right? If he's not a person, then how come we've got something that he hasn't got? That means he's not God. Isn't it? If he's the source of everything, that means he's the source of our personality. So he's a person, we're a person. Pretty straightforward. And, you know, just as it's our natural want to serve each other, there's a reciprocation between the devotees and the Bhagavad Times are all about Krishna and his devotees and how they render service to each other. Even though Krishna is God, and he likes service to be rendered to him, at the same time he also likes to render service to his devotees. So the Bhagavad Gita is all about the Bhagavat, the Maha Bhagavat, and the Bhagavat, the devotee Bhagavat, right? And how they interact, just like persons interact, have likes and dislikes, and they exchange. There's exchanges of affection and love in the demonstration of that, those likes and dislikes. So, the Bhagavatam, in order to be properly understood, the speaker has to be purely motivated and the hearer has to be purely motivated. And by that recitation, regular recitation of the Bhagavatam, the heart is purified. He abhadrani, the abhadra or the inauspicious things within the heart. You know, the desire to become one with God, the desire to enjoy as good as God, becomes sublimated into a desire to render service without material motivation. But what happens? It mentions here. Na itcham tatra atmanatmanam. Na itcham means without desires, without material desires. Because we have desires. This is another thing that's a misconception, that becoming spiritually advanced means no desires. Forget about it. We are always going to have desires. Or another misconception is, you know, still the mind. Still the mind. Forget about it. It is not your, the mind is not going to be still. That's why it's called chanchala. Right? Always moving. The deity of the mind is Aniruddha. Aniruddha means he who cannot be stopped. Right? If God wants something, he gets it. Right? And the mind cannot be stopped. It's always moving. So the trick is not to be desireless or to still the mind, but rather to change the nature of desire and change the actions of the mind, which is where that's where the desires are all reflected in the mind, is to change the quality of the action, change the quality of desire. So Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Think of me. We're going to think of something. So think of something positive. We're going to do, you know, it's like this whole notion of sitting still and not doing anything, thinking that, oh, karma or action is the cause of my distress, so therefore let me do nothing. But who can sit still and do nothing? Nobody. Effectively. So rather, the karma is for Krishna. The thinking is, what is it? Karma na manasa gira. Our actions are for devotional service. Our thinking is thinking about devotional service. Our speaking is to talk about Krishna, which is what the Bhagavatam is all about. Karma na manasa gira. What is it? No. Iha yasya hare dasye. Karmana manasagira nikala svapyavasta so jivan mukta so uchate. One who thinks for Krishna, speaks for Krishna, acts for Krishna is considered to be on a liberated platform. Jivan mukta, a liberated soul. So the recitation of the Bhagavatam without material motivation for the pleasure of the devotees and for the pleasure of Krishna is the right kind of discussion, the right kind of hearing, the right kind of meditation. And in that discussion then Krishna's magical, mystical potencies are contained so that everybody, the hearts of all those involved are purified. And it's pleasing to the heart. Atmanam santushta iti siddhyati. It mentions here santushta. Tushti means satisfaction, right? Santushti means completely satisfied. You know, you may have chanted your rounds and still feel a bit disturbed, right? Anybody experienced that? Chant 16 rounds, struggled hard with the mind and the senses, and at the end of chanting around, you're still a bit disturbed, not satisfied. But then you hear the Bhagavatam, and then peaceful. Then take prasadam, right? Then you can fully satisfied and have a sleep. Right? Worked hard. I've done 5 hours of hard work. Right? Gone to Mongoladi, Chanam around, Greta the Deities, Guru Puja, Bhagavatam, Prasadam, Haribol. Very happy, very satisfied. So it's the Bhagavatam is always auspicious. But here it's mentioned on these. If we recite the Bhagavatam or this story of Dhruva Maharaj on these particular occasions, even more auspicious, more powerful. But not for making material advancement. It's not, you know, hearing the Bhagavatam is not for material advancement. It's for spiritual progress. Shraddha, the development of faith, right? That verse, Satan Prasangam. It ends with, what is it? Shraddha, Rati, Bhakti, Anukramishyati. So, our faith, our understanding, our philosophical, our inquisitiveness is satisfied by hearing the Bhagavatam. And our taste, Rati, our taste for devotional service increases. This is this santushta rati taste and bhakti. From that, the shraddha increases into a taste, and then that taste, ruchi, right? Ruchi, that taste. What is it? Nishta. As one follows the process of bhakti, then we have some inclination or we have some appreciation for the existence of God and the existence of devotional service to God as being the most satisfying activity. But it's not really fully understood and appreciated and practiced until we come into the association of the devotees. As I was saying before, Prabhupada makes a point. Most people have an impersonal conception of God. That's why association of devotees is important, because they have an understanding of the personal conception of the personality of Godhead, personality of Godhead. That's why Prabhupada said, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada clearly, you know, defines God is a person, not just some light. Although he is light, he is. But he's more than that. If we think of God as just some formless light without understanding the personality, that's just his effulgence. He's such a powerful person that in the beginning, all you see is the light. But the problem is, it's such a bright light, you can be blinded by it. So that you're not able to go further to see behind the light is the person. That's why the Bhagavatam is so important. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabjyate. So the hearing of this information comes from the Bhagavatam. The devotees are always absorbed in hearing the Bhagavatam, or at least regularly every day hearing the Bhagavatam. And from the Bhagavatam we get the message, God's a person, you're a person, your perfection in practice is to render service appropriately. We're servants of everybody, but we serve in the appropriate way, in the appropriate fashion, and without material motivation. So that understanding is learnt from and by the association of the devotees, we get that same mood, that same mentality, gradually. Right? Even it may take years. The impersonal conception of God is a hard one to eradicate. But over time, as one renders service, then one makes progress. Bhajana Kriya. In the association of the devotees, we perform Bhajana Kriya, the activities of bhajan, or the activities of worship. And then as a process, consequence, then we also imbibe that same mood, the same attitude. Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar of Instruction how the process of devotional service requires a change of attitude. That attitude is that mood of service to the devotees and service to the Godhead. That necessitates the purification of the heart. And the Bhagavad Gita begins with that. In the second canto of the Bhagavad Gita, it's about the purification of the heart. In fact, that's the cultivation of bhakti. As mentioned by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Brahma Samhita. And he mentions how devotional practice, well, actually, it's the Brahma Samhita, it's Lord Brahma, right? Pramanais tad sad acharais. That bhakti is attained by slow degrees, right? It's a slow process. To establish bhakti within the heart takes time. You know, when we're in a kirtan, we're jumping up and down, we feel the ecstasy of bhakti, right? Hari Hari Bo! Right? But then later on in the morning, we're going, what happened? Right? So to really firmly establish bhakti within the heart, it requires steady practice. Tad, Abhyasa means practice. So the evidence of the Shastra, Sadachar means proper behavior. Right? And that's the whole, everything that we do as devotees is this Sadachar. Activities that establish us in this personal conception, this identity of self and the identity of God as a person. And the identity that I'm a servant of God and I'm a servant of the devotees. And the chanting of Hare Krishna, and the chanting of Hare Krishna with the purification of the heart to remove material motivations, to uncover that real spiritual identity that we have, which is pure by nature. That existence of what's called Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. So hearing the Bhagavatam in the association of the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna in the association of the devotees, is all part of this sadachar of purification of the heart, so that material motivations are put aside, right? What is it? Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. It's the beginning of the Bhagavatam, right? So that's pure devotion. That's pure motivation. That's what we're recommended to cultivate. That's chanting Hare Krishna, is to purify, instead of the thinking about ahamamiti, I and mine, based on a bodily concept, it's Brahmeti, I'm Brahman, I'm spiritual by nature. And that my purpose is service to God and service to the devotees. So that's the cultivation of bhakti. And it can be attained or achieved by the performance of bhakti. Of course, this is the Bhagavatam, reciting the Bhagavatam is part of that practice. But achieved by slow degrees is mentioned, right? Although that's not in the, actually not in the Sanskrit. It's in the translation of that verse, but it's not in the Sanskrit. Although I guess abhyasa means practice, and practice means something that you do every day. So it takes time. So it's implied in that term. Practice. And that's why we study the Bhagavatam regularly every day. And gradually faith is built, taste is increased, bhakti increases. Bhakti won't increase when our material desires are prominent. Right? Can't. It's like water and oil. You can't mix water and oil together. If you mix water and oil together, what have you got? Starts with an M. If you try to mix oil and water together, what have you got?
A mess.
Yeah, a mess. You got a mess. So it's important that the bhakti has to be practiced without material motivations. Otherwise, it doesn't work. This is part of the problem, you know. We've been devotees for so many years, and when we think, well, why isn't this working? Well, the reason why it's not working is because we're stumbling on our material motivations. And we have to get rid of those. If we don't get rid of them, then devotional practice will just become sheer drudgery. Hard work for nothing. Hard labour for nothing. Well, like, the example is threshing? Is it threshing or thrashing? Threshing grain, threshing the husk when the grain's already been taken out. Right? You throw away the husk, right? Once you've got the grain out of it. So anyway, this is interesting here. This is the main point Prabhupada says here. It is strictly forbidden to recite Srimad Bhagavatam as a profession to earn a livelihood, which means material motivations. And he makes a point here, interesting. Only one who is completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending fully on him for personal maintenance, or even for maintenance of his family life, right? Of his family. So it's okay for the devotees to be dependent upon Krishna. And to be dependent upon Krishna to feed us, to clothe us, to do all of those things. That's not material motivation. Depending on Krishna for one's personal maintenance. That's okay. We all do that. But if one is thinking of, you know, becoming very wealthy or very influential or very powerful, even very learned, so that one has, and you know, from the material perspective, as I mentioned, these, as devotees, we will be given respect, we'll be given money, we'll be given deference. Right? Deference. You know what I mean by deference? I remember once I went to the bank, because nobody did these things for me when I was under 30, maybe even under 40. I remember going when I was about 50 one day, I went to the bank and there was this man walking before me and then he just opened up the door for me. Oh, come in. I think, oh, thank you. And that's what, you know, people will open up doors for you. And give you money. This phone, you know, Google's always listening to you. Can hear my voice and so. Or even it's listening to other people's voices. You know, if you've got feedback on your phone, you're doing some training or something, somebody else is talking and then Google says to you, sorry, I couldn't understand what you said. Always listening. Trying to sell you something. That's what they're doing. They're listening for you to give an indication as to what you want to buy next. Then they'll show it to you. Here you go, this is what you want. I want pure devotional service to Krishna. When are you going to give me that? So, and then Prabhupada summarised, right? The audience must be faithful. That means free from material motivations. And the speaker must be free from material motivations for the process to be effective. Bhagavad recitation must not be a business. Although it is our business. Right? Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam is our business. But we're not doing it to make money. Even if we do make money from doing our business. That's not our purpose for doing the business. If done in the right way, everybody can become satisfied. Even if you don't get any money by hearing the Bhagavatam, you'll become perfectly satisfied. Yeah. And become liberated. Right? Santushta iti siddhyati. Fully satisfied and thus siddhyati perfect. Very interesting. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? I agree with them? No? Santushti. Comments? Yeah? How can we hear?
How can we read that?
Read? You may not be able to. This is called an emergency. It's an emergency. So in emergencies, you may have to adjust and just sleep. Right? So when you're sick and you can't, you're not well enough to hear, then have a sleep. What do you think? Is that okay? Yeah. Don't sleep in the Bhagavatam class. That's a symptom of material disease. Huh? We come for the Bhagavatam class and then what do? There's that story of the man who had insomnia. So they said, go to the Bhagavatam class. And they cured his insomnia from going. But that's not the purpose of. That's using the Bhagavad Gita class for the wrong reason. Anything else? Pretty straightforward. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.